Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report, where truth cannot be silenced. Truth can't be silenced. Websites, our websites, HagmanReportLive.com. That's HagmanReportLive.com. And that's where you're going to find all of the shows, including our three, Keith Hansen, the Keith Hansen Show, on HagmanReportLive.com. HagmanReport.com as well. Folks, bookmark those two locations. Now we are also putting our broadcast on YouTube. I ask that you subscribe. Please click on the like and subscribe buttons on YouTube at the official Hagman Report channel. All right. Again, we were, despite not depending on YouTube, since of course they had prevented us from live streaming way back when, for us daring to air the State of the Union message. How dare we? How dare we, Greta Thunberg? How dare you? Okay. So anyway, please, nonetheless, like and subscribe. All right. I got a really packed show for you right today. I mean, this is going to be fantastic. Two guests coming up. Two guests coming up. Yeah, I'll get this right. What? Thank you. Eric's over there. You need this written down for you. No, I got this. Yeah. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com and Russ Dizdar from ShatterTheDarkness.net. You thought, I'm hearing stuff. Stop the hammering in my ear. No, I'm kidding. But before we get to both, class, pull up your chairs. Word of the day. Let's do a word of the day today. Okay. Let's do this. We should start doing this every day. Word of the day. This, of course, this was brought up yesterday during the impeachment, whatever you want to call those, impeachment trial. Didn't look quite like that or feel like that, but okay. But here's the word of the day. Pettifogging. Pettifogging. Say it with me now. Pettifogging. That, of course, became somewhat of a meme on social media when Chief Justice said, referenced the 1905 Swain trial, where a senator objected when one of the managers used the word pettifogging, and the presiding officer said the word ought not to be, it shouldn't have been used. It's too strong of a word. Now this was what Robert said. I don't think we need to aspire to that high of a standard, but I do think those addressing the Senate should remember where they are. And again, this is in reference to the 1905 Senate impeachment trial. Now, let's do this. Pettifogging, according to the online dictionary, dictionary.com, and this is backed up by the Cambridge Dictionary. Pettifogging is, it's an adjective, is described as insignificant, petty. Pettifogging details dishonest or unethical in insignificant matters, meaning or meanly petty. So it has this vexatious tone to it, doesn't it? The pettifogging has somewhat of a vex. It does. So let's apply it to today's standards, shall we? All right. I really worked at this. And here's what I think the 2020 version, as opposed to the 1905 version of pettifogging means. Well, let me just give you an example. I will say this, just as the example is used by dictionary.com, is pettifogging attorneys were the bane of civil society. That's the use in the sentence. Pettifogging attorneys were the bane of civil society. Let's apply it to 2020. Pettifogging is prolific on the internet, especially by the growing number of pro se litigants who desire a legacy by attacking others because they cannot otherwise create a legacy on their own. Pettifogging. Let's update that. One more thing. Who does pettifogging? A pettifogger, right? So who's a pettifogger? Pettifogger. This is my definition now, in my own view. A pettifogger is an intellectually barren, and most often barren in every practical sense, especially if they are female. I'm allowed to do that, right? I'm allowed to say, I'm just updating the definitions. Pedofogging. Pedofogger. Pedofogettes. We could develop a whole new language, right? After all, it works for the sovereign citizens on quantum language, right? I still haven't quite figured that out. Apparently I'm intellectually barren. Parsing the language, torturously parsing the language. Yeah, okay. Tomorrow, folks, Brandon House is going to guest host this program while I take care of other matters. Hour two is going to be Pastor David Langford. By the way, if you haven't done so, go to thevoiceofevangelism.com. Register for the revival in Hickory, North Carolina. That's going to take place on April 16th through the 19th. That's the revival meeting, Hickory, North Carolina, at the Hickory Metro Convention Center, April 16th through the 19th. Steve Quayle is going to be a guest speaker. Of course, Pastor Langford, Russ Dizdar is going to be there. Need I say more? I'm going to be there. I'm going to be sitting there and taking in everything that they say because, yeah, I need a revival. Lord knows after that opening, I need a revival. Before we get to the guests, you know, it is January 2020 in case you need a reminder. The year 2020 shows up a lot in science fiction. It does. A lot of people predicted that by now we'd be teleporting to work. Eric would like that. I would like that myself. We're living on Mars. Some say we already do. Who knows? Who knew? And a lot of those predictions were wrong in science fiction. The truth is, we're always going to get the future wrong. Believe me. I don't have a crystal ball. Neither do you. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, tomorrow, you realize that one lack of one breath could change your entire life, right? That's why we need to get life insurance right. We need to be accurate on this. That's where Policy Genius can help. Now, I was a captive agent. I was a licensed captive agent in the insurance market for a number, for I think 3 years. I'm going to tell you, this beats everything. This Policy Genius beats everything. Policy Genius makes finding the right life insurance a breeze. In minutes, you can compare quotes from the top insurers to find your best price. You could save $1,500 or more a year by using Policy Genius to compare life insurance policies. We've done it here at the studio. My family has done it and with great success. Once you apply, the Policy Genius team will handle all the paperwork and red tape. And Policy Genius doesn't just make life insurance easy. They can also help you find the right home, auto insurance, disability insurance. If you care for it, you can insure it through Policy Genius. So if your science fiction dreams for 2020 still haven't become science fact, Settle down. I've got something for you. Get life insurance. It takes just a few minutes to find your best price and apply at policygenius.com. Policy Genius. They'll always get the future. I mean, you and I, we're always going to get the future wrong, but we better get life insurance right. Policygenius.com. And I mean that from the heart, based on what I've seen, what I've gone through personally and professionally, policygenius.com. They are a great company. All right. Enough with the, let's dispense with the, oh, but by the way, coffee cups are out. Here they are. I need the bean Hagman coffee right there. See? You know what? They're fun to have. Also coffee, HagmanStore.com. Significant proceeds go to groups, including and especially Russ Dizdar and his group, as well as Craig Sawyer. Okay. We have Steve Quayle. We don't have Russ. So, well, let's bring Steve on. How you doing, Steve?
Good, Doug. It's really a timely, I would say, expression of what's going to be coming down and what is coming down in the world on this show today. You know, Russ is going to be one of our keynote speakers at Branson. And by the way, he'll be with me at Hickory, not with me. We'll both be with Pastor Langford. But what's really critical about this time of Pastor Langford's, it's not a conference. I'd say more
revival.
What do you call it?
Revival is how it's being described.
Okay, yeah, revival. That's a word. And revive literally means to breathe life back into. And I tell people, I hear all the time about there's going to be a great revival. Yeah, but when you've got a revival, you have Jesus there as being the resurrection. I think what is really important, I think David heard from the Lord on this, power failure in the church. The church are the called out ones. I've never seen, Doug, or heard in my life of such wanton surrender to darkness that is in that which calls itself the church. Now, I don't use the word Christianity anymore as it applies to mainstream Christianity that has abandoned Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I use the word jellyfishianity. That's a term I'm not just because I'm trying to be clever and cute, but the backbone of the pulpit has been broken. I'm going to send you, Doug, I don't know if you've seen it, maybe I already sent it to you, but did you see the whole intelligence dossier on how to compromise the church to make the church an asset for them when the time comes? Did you see that yet?
I have. I know of its existence. I have not seen it. Interestingly enough, I just want to mention this tomorrow. Brandon House is going to be addressing the compromised church and how it's rooted in Marxism, and how it's turning into Marxianity through the Christian body. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I think it's really critical that people understand. I'm on record as saying the clergy response team is the Pied Piper of perdition that will lead its parishioners to the FEMA camps. And ultimately, the FEMA camps, if you don't deny your faith in Jesus. Now, I know this from a gentleman who had the highest clearance you can get and majestic level clearance, went into one of the military compounds where the guillotines are. And when he asked one of the people in charge there in the military, and when you have a certain clearance, they have to answer your questions, just like a 4-star general told me, who actually saw the guillotine compounds on the different forts. And when my friend asked the question, well, who are these for? He said, these are for the people, sir, that won't recant their faith in Jesus. That is not an old wives' tale. And Doug, I want to put something into perspective. There's so much horse manure about the guillotines. I can say this, having been on talk radio 25 years ago, the story that originated about the guillotines on the Long Beach Harbor came from a friend of mine who was a test pilot for Boeing, probably retired now, and his brother was the head of the longshoremen that unloaded the crates of these things. I actually know that there are in excess of 100,000 guillotines. The document is massive, but it exists. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you read in the book of Revelation of the souls in the altar that were beheaded for the testimony of Jesus, that's us. That's those of us. Now, God will deliver those. Some will go to prison. Some will be killed. Some will be martyred. But here's the thing. Right now, Doug, the entire focus of everybody in the world is on pretty much what's going to become of, and when I say this, what's going to become of the situation in Washington, D.C.? I've never seen the rule of law dismissed. I've never seen in my entire life the theater of the absurd being played out when you got Nadler being a crybaby and Schiff, who looks like bug-eyed Bill, in my opinion. By the way, that guy's got a serious medical condition. I'm convinced of it. I'm not a doctor, but there is a medical condition for bug eyes like that. You can see that this country has veered so far from the constitutional foundation of the Constitution and Bill of Rights. And remember, to say those two words makes me a terrorist. To say I'm a Christian makes me a terrorist. And the thing is that if you know this, Doug, please, I don't mean to tell you what you don't know, but I got an email late in the morning from Mike Adams of Natural News, and he's been taken down totally. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Totally taken down at server level. At server level. No one will give him any answers. And, I mean, his presence right now, until he gets something else worked out, it was his internet service provider, and someone with power basically pulled the ranks. And another website, by the way, Dave Hodges had an encounter that was very similar to Gary Cole's in a restaurant last night, and you'll have to read Dave's column today. And I gave Dave some advice. I'm not going to tell what I gave him. But, Doug, here's the thing. One by one, we're falling.
Yes.
One by
yes.
one, we're being taken down. One by one, you know, I mean, and here's the thing. I'm telling people this. Please print out or commit, you know, burn DVDs of the most important Hagman shows so you can be reminded. And then getting back to the Hickory Convention coming up with Pastor David Langford, there has to be an impartation of the Holy Spirit in the Book of Acts ways with signs and wonders following, because right now the Church of Jesus Christ, or that which claims itself to be, won't have anything to do with the Holy Spirit. Actually, they won't have anything to do with Jesus. And without the presence of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the ministries of the Holy Spirit, we are powerless. People can stay on 1948 as long as they want. But see, I maintain this, and look, God is going to have to take the veil off Israel's eyes. It's on right now. And Christians need to be more concerned with the prophetic headlines being fulfilled every day, whether it's the four horsemen of the apocalypse, we've got the global coronavirus, we've got massive snowstorms, we've got basically, if you will, all of the things Jesus warned about, great earthquakes in diverse places, men's hearts failing them for fear of looking after those things coming upon the earth. We have internal revolution, which going to Dmitry Dudeman precedes a Russian attack. And Doug, did everybody lose track of the fact that Putin said had Hillary Clinton won, he would have initiated a first strike against the United States? Do you remember that?
You know, I was trying to find the exact location or the quote that you referenced, Steve. Honestly, I've heard of it, but I haven't. Where does that exist from your memory? I don't mean to put you on the spot. I'm just trying to figure.
No. From my memory, it was a interview he did with a couple of the global magazines. As a matter of fact, I had it on my website. Look up Putin.
First strike.
Russia first strike. Yeah, okay. It's in my headline someplace. And Doug, I have hundreds of thousands of headlines over the years. And be honest with you, I'm embarrassed to say I don't even know where half the stuff is on my website, because it's just, you know, it's in the articles. My search engine isn't the best, you know. But to say this, right now as we are on the radio, excuse me, the old days, as we're on, you know, the broadcast with you today, we're surrounded by enemies. We've got now the massive outbreak of not only coronavirus, but also the Ebola, that's, in my opinion, a genetically altered form of a transgenic virus that can jump species. We've got the situation now with SARS. We've got all these things going on. And I just want everybody to understand that my statement, shot in the arm, shot in the head, either way you end up dead, is as true today as it was whenever I said that 10 years ago. I want everybody to ask themselves this. What happens when a genetically altered mutagenic virus, it just means it's changing its foundational genome continually, it's regenerating in a more powerful way. What happens when that's released? And by the people that have supposedly a vaccine for it, and if you don't take their vaccine for that which they generated, you go into a FEMA camp. Or if you try and fight it on the spot, you're shot on the spot. Imagine you're going down whatever closest freeway exit to you or to me is, and you see guys, military, in mop gear. In other words, they've got their correct clothing on. They've got gas masks on. They're all cocked and locked with their M4s. There's a barricade. It says enter here. And they scan you and they scan you and whatever. And for the record, you won't know if you really have it. But if they say you have it, say you need to take the vaccine, what recourse is there? Most people, do you think, that are listening to us today, Doug, even considered that?
Yeah, good point. And is that the objective here? Yes. Do you believe? Okay.
Yeah,
I'm concerned about this. I'm very concerned about this iteration, this new coronavirus, if it's new. It just seems like it's been weaponized to me.
Yeah, it has been.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw the most pathetic statement saying it was brought in to China by African imported animals. I'm not picking on the guy that sent that to me. Wrong. I contacted some of my scientists. When Ken Allaback, let me just jump around here, sure, and tell me when Russ comes on, but I wrote the book Breathe No Evil. You know, the only guy in the world that said within a certain amount of time, 30 days or whatever, he said 2 weeks, I think, that there'd be a major biological or chemical release in a major city of the world. And 2 weeks after that, we all know the Anshin Rikyo cult released nerve gas in the Tokyo subway. Well, during those days of all of the dead scientists, and I was the guy that put the original dead scientists article together, and quite candidly, there's so much stuff I haven't kept up on it. But here's the common denominator. When the most prominent microbiologists, molecular biologists, virologists, geneticists were being whacked, over 150 of them worldwide famous, I said, now is the reason. I would get the typical question, and this isn't about me, this is about everybody else. Well, why would they do that? Because those are the people that could have found a vaccine, could have detailed the concerns they had, and guess what? They all died. So Ken Allaback was a head of Russia's bioweapons development called Biopreparat. He defected to the West. He told us about things like mouse pox, Ebola pox, combination of Ebola, smallpox. And I remember, I forget, it was the church committee or one of the Senate committees. He told them flat out what was going on in the world of bioweapons development. And just remember this, whenever you hear a bioweapon versus a nuclear weapon, a bioweapon is a higher form of killing and has more benefit because it's ongoing. You have more resources. You don't, or resources, you have to commit to it. You don't have to. And then I went into all of the biocontainment laboratories in the United States and how few hospital beds there are. And now I just got an email from my friend Doug in Portland, another Doug. I know so many Dougs, but Doug M in Portland, he said, Steve, went to Price Right and all of the face masks are sold out, you know, the kind that doctors wear.
Right.
And I bet that within a week or two, the N95, that's November 95 masks will be sold out. My guess is that the gas mask business will once again explode. But here's what I know, Doug. This is not a trial run now. I'm going to be dealing with a lot of this stuff in detail on my own broadcast. I'm just waiting for Russ. That's why I don't want to dominate
No, that's fine. And let people know, Steve, how they can sign up for your Q-Files 2.0, if you don't mind.
It's on my website. You got to sign up. It's $9.95 a month, okay, or $100 a year. And I put stuff on there. I try and be as gracious as I can with the general information. Thank you. There it is. But, Doug, I because of some information, I want to control the access to the information. In other words, those people that have stood by you, your listeners, viewers, my listeners, viewers, my the people that have purchased my books, I feel, honestly, I feel almost passion to make sure that there's nobody out there that's ever listened to me that is basically going to be taken off guard. It doesn't mean I know the day or the hour, and that doesn't apply to the date of the rapture. That applies to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? If we can know the times, we can know the seasons. No man knows the day or the hour. Jesus said even the Son doesn't know it. When God gives a command, go. So what I'm trying to say is this, is that in the whole bioweapons development, when you understand how sophisticated it is, and Doug, the reason why the newest information out there is that all the hospitals are turning over your medical records, my medical records, to the biggest demon-possessed group of total information awareness companies that are the quintessential expression of Lucifer's government on Earth, so they can define even a specific genetic and bioweapon targeting a specific genetic marker. And that was already proved in Project COAST. When I brought that out, Project COAST in South America, no one had even heard of Wouter Basson. No one had ever heard of a genetic specific bioweapon. They knew that you could find specific traits in a, let's say, any ethnic group, and target a weapon, but this was really specific. In other words, based on blood type, based on genome, based on certain chemicals and neurochemicals in the brain, they can design a weapon that will only take, the Lord rebuke it, but take me out and nobody else. Well, imagine now, Doug, the greatest medical banks in history are now in possession of that information, or soon will be. I say the HIPAA paper, you know, the HIPAA documents every doctor and dentist makes you sign. I said, what a bunch of HIPAA, H-I-P-P-A, critical BS.
You're exactly right. You know, and you wrote a book about it. Help me out with the title of the book about these issues.
Free No Evil was 25 years ago.
I don't know. I'm getting old, Steve. I'm drawing blanks every time, you know.
The reason we draw blanks, Doug, is because one of us should be able to fill in the blanks for the other one.
Thank you. Yeah.
That was the answer. Waiting for an answer for the filled in blanks. Here's the problem. We're reaching a point of data saturation overload. And by the way, does Eric have Russ's phone number to call him to tell him, hey, we're supposed to be on?
We're going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour, Steve, and we're going to hunt him down, send out a posse for him, and lasso him.
Okay, maybe this is the way it was supposed to go.
Perhaps.
Perhaps. Breathe No Evil is what I didn't put it on the title, but I always called it the fourth monkey. Hear no evil, speak no evil, see no evil. But then the fourth monkey was breathe no evil. You know, everybody's seen the monkeys like that, you know, their eyes, their ears, and the mouth, but they never thought of the, you know, take a deep breath. You know, the breath, the pneuma in Greek, like we get the word pneumatic, you know, is such a strange word because there's very few derivations of that word with spirit, but yet there's a whole lot of derivations of psychos, suke, that's how they pronounce it, which means psychology, you know, the soul. The soul is basically the mind, intellect, will, and emotions, but your spirit, when you become born again, is what God gives you. And ladies and gentlemen, there is no extinction of the human spirit at death. Those who love Jesus will spend eternity in his presence. Those that don't will spend eternity damned in the darkest, deepest hell. And, you know, people don't even want to talk about that. Political correctness, I remember this, Doug. Boy, am I on a roll now. Political correctness, I said, would be the tombstone of America's faith. I said that 20 years ago, that in essence, political correctness killed this country. I don't think that was wrong. In retrospect, maybe I was trying to be funny, clever, whatever, but I believe that's where we're at. Here lies the human race who failed to see their end when it stared them in the face. The indifference, the mind control, the pharmacological control, the neurochemical control, the RF waves beaming us, electromagnetic radiation here, 5G, 6G. And as you know, the 6G is Genesis 6 by the very people who are designing it. And by the way, they're in Finland and they don't listen to Steve Quayle or Doug Hagman. But the point is they call 6G Genesis 6. And until, Tracy Yates brought that to my attention, God bless him, I didn't even know that they are calling that Genesis 6. That will complete the grid, the electromagnetic control grid over the entire planet. It will also be able to access, interrogate your thoughts. It will also be able, at a certain point in development, to see what you're thinking. That's not BS. That's not bravado. That's not scare tactics. That's not metaphor. That is a technological advance that exists already. And if you understand what is at play, the end of the human race is that which is at play at the end of the day.
The ultimate subjugation. And Genesis 6. I'm going to tell you, Steve Quayle has nailed it. 6G, Genesis 6, there it is. Ahead of his time, Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com. Make sure you sign up for his Q Alerts, Q 2.0. It's available via stevequayle.com. I'm going to be right back taking a break. Stay right where you're at.
reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
And welcome back. Thanks for holding over the break. You're listening to the Hagman Report. We still have a posse out. Search team out for Russ Dizdar. It's all right. We might have got our signals crossed. Hang in there with both Steve and I as we're going to take this next segment solo as we attempt to find Russ. But, Steve, something you said earlier before the break, and this has been on my mind, it's been on my heart, about this coronavirus. Now, coronavirus has been diagnosed, it's my understanding here in the United States, perhaps. Am I wrong on that? Or, there was a Washington State resident who was recently diagnosed with the, virus in Seattle. Is that right?
You are correct. Yes, you are correct. One of the problems we're having, Doug, is that there's so much lying going on, L-Y-I-N-G, that it's hard to determine which specific viruses are being dealt with and which ones they're covering. Let me just give you a little background, okay? I'm quoting from one of the smartest scientists in the world. I'm sorry to look away, ladies and gentlemen, from the screen, but I want to get this clear. This is a big deal. Because if you remember, Doug, we seem to have gone on almost like an annular cycle of Ebola 1 minute, then monkeypox. Monkeypox is still very serious. We'll get to that in a minute. But, that genome for that is on the internet and was put up until it was taken down. But anybody who is nefarious has got it, okay? So let's go with some facts about the rapidly mutating viruses. I don't know how to make this any clearer. When you hear that it is jumping species, it has been bioweaponized to do so, okay? I hope people are taking copious notes. Number two, consider this, that before a global release, there is going to be a regional release. It will start out pretty much, I'm sorry, it'll go localized, then it'll become broader and broader until it becomes regional. The question everybody should ask themselves today, on Hagman and Hagman, this broadcast, is this the time the globalists go for the release of massive and different variant viruses to begin their mass culling of the human population? Okay, this is what I want to say. So if we look at the timing of the releases of these various viruses, it looks like global biowarfare. And look at it in this perspective. When you have battleships taking shots at each other, boom, 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 or armies fighting or navies exchanging volleys of fire, there's always a little bit of a delay between them. They have to reload, etc. Even you can only dump so many, belt-fed rounds of 240s or, Mod-Deuce rounds downrange before you got to basically open the breach or whatever and set your belt in and start all over. Now, here's what people must understand. And whether you want to believe this or not, I really don't care. I'm about saving lives. And what you said earlier in the about your new word couldn't be truer, okay? And maybe instead of frogging, it should be fragging. Because with the words going out there and all of the lies, slander, scorn, it's more like throwing a grenade into, a tent with a bunch of officers and just seeing who gets killed. And they don't care who gets killed just as long as enough get killed. So Ebola is a flat out biological U.S. creation. Russia, China, and India all have their own variants of Ebola now. How do I know that? When I wrote about Ebola Zaire and, Lurie Garrett's book, The Coming Plague, and Richard Press in the Hot Zone. I didn't write those, but I was writing concurrently with them. I made a joke. I don't know if it was a joke. I think it was just an off-the-cuff comment on my show, Doug, during those days of Ebola Zaire and Kikwit. That's a town in Zaire, or a little town in Zaire. I said, you mark my words, pretty soon there will be reports of helicopters landing, biosuit guys coming, taking samples from dead bodies, getting in the biosuits, and they'd be in a white helicopter, and it would never cross anybody's mind what that was all about. Well, let me tell you what happened. That story was carried on whatever the Kinshasa Zaire newspaper. It was sanitized, too. I've even had guys go back in the Wayback Machine. Mm-hmm. And that story before the Lord was true. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
I don't know if that was inspiration or not. So here's what I said. That was a biotest. Just like if everybody wants to even get a feel for this, the movie Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman, one of my favorite all-time movies, the opening scenes of that could not have been more exact or accurate. And I'll say this, Africa is the test tube of the world for their bioweapons engineering programs, i.e. AIDS, okay? The problem with Americans is we no longer think. The problem with most people is they no longer care to think. And the final problem is we'd rather be entertained. We'd rather be entertained, okay, than pained by the truth. Now, monkeypox was a creation of a Russian lab years ago, and it migrated the CDC when the Russian scientist, who was ahead of Biopreparat, Kenton Alibek, A-L-I-B-E-K. I wrote about this stuff in my book, Breed No Evil, which, interestingly enough, is out of print, and I won't bring it back into print. Because, again, I don't know why, but I just won't do it. Monkeypox was created, and it was a simian virus, and it was also combined with smallpox, okay? Smallpox is a scourge of the world. All of the remaining samples were to have been destroyed except the one that got away. And then we find out, not one got away, two got away. Not two got away, three got away. And number four, we're going to be bioweaponized away. Okay? Now, I know what I'm talking about because no one else was on this in those days. That's 20-some years ago. I won't say no one. Obviously, Lori Garrett was writing The Coming Plague. She chronicled the whole, if you will, the whole history of it. But when I'm talking about the bioweaponization and the field reports and the people that I knew and the people that I spoke to, and by the way, one of my friends, I won't even tell you how I know him, become a very close friend, is personal friends with Wouter Bassan in South Africa, okay? That's the guy that created the genetically specific bioweapons that they brought before the international court, and they had to let him go under Project Coast. The coronavirus was released, now listen to this, from a Chinese bioweapons lab on a city of some 15 million people so that the Chinese could understand how things spread and how to deal with them. And I asked my source, are you kidding me? He said, yes. They use their own people as victims in the test. Well, we've heard that in our U.S. military.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
They have no qualms about doing that because they feel they have too many people already. So they took a city that was big enough to get a good Chinese-sized working sample and release the virus. And this virus has now two extra mutations in the short time it has been out. What people don't understand about the mutagenesis of viruses, they can be accelerated, and they can be super potentized by specific waveforms of energy. In other words, broadcast bioweapons, the bioweapons that are released, and you can alter the genetic structure of the viruses, just like they're talking about cell phones or health phones holding up your head, giving people brain chemistry or brain cancer, not chemistry, cancer. So someone would say, I don't believe that. Well, you could tell that was not true when China, of what, 1.5 or 1.4 billion people, said they only have one Chinese bioweapons lab. Couldn't be further from the truth, okay? And here's some of the facts that people have got to know. And I'm sorry to have to look away, Doug, but I can't get this wrong, okay?
Sure.
This virus that has now 12 extra mutations, the permutations, the mathematical models, I'm telling, they expect it to be able to mutate at least 12 times, okay? 12 times. Wasn't there a movie called The 12 Monkeys or something with Bruce Willis? Was it 7 Monkeys, 12 Monkeys, 9 Monkeys?
There's a bunch of monkeys.
And all you and I have to deal with now is monkey business, okay? If we stand back and look at the simple, direct facts, the facts will jump out at us. Number one, now get this. The World Health Organization, the UN, blah, 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 are now getting involved. Global pandemic. There is a global talk that at leadership level of forced vaccinations, even if the vaccines are of dubious origin, and also dubious the ability to be considered a valid vaccine from a scientific point of view. Shot in the arm, shot in the head, either way, you end up dead. Okay, that's where that statement came from. The reactions, now listen to this, as an investigator, the reactions of hazmat suits and special scanners at airport tells my scientist friend, he said, tells me it's a setup job for sure. There are also resonance meters being handed out. Even the people using them do not understand how they work. But what they do is view the resonance of people infected. In other words, people who are infected with these various viruses will have a different, if you will, electromagnetic signature. And that's what these devices are being able to pick up. Now, remember, this is an ongoing experiment. So every, John Dick and Harry or whatever, however that statement goes, that scan, more data is being put into the system. Ultimately, all of these records of people being scanned for the mutagenic viruses will be matched up against their medical profiles. And now you get it, you guys. This is a complete control of the human genome in a destructive way. So much so that the words of Jesus echo in my mind every day. No exaggeration, if not every hour, and that's not an exaggeration. Except the days be shortened, there be no flesh left alive. And I said to the Lord today when I was praying, I said, Lord, how long are you going to let this go on? I said, God, just basic human calculations are saying, you know, if they're releasing coronavirus, I want to make something clear. I am not just talking about the coronavirus. I am talking about Ebola and its variant man-made genetically altered strains. I am talking about mousepox. Look it up on the internet. The entire genome, the gene sequence was uploaded. Any bio student of any caliber, at least a graduate student, could put that stuff together. I am talking about animal diseases that will kill off all ability of mankind to live and forage in the forest. Chronic wasting disease, what you call CJD, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease in humans, prion disease in fish, whirling disease. So the thing is that the ultimate question, I can't answer it yet, but here's where the scales are in my mind. By the way, I'll turn out of my thing. Behind me are two sets of scales. I think you can see them left and right. Mm-hmm. Those are old scales. And in my mind, every man and every woman has two sets of scales. They have the scales in their heart that they have to determine what's right and wrong. We'll call that conscience. And they have the scales on their eyes. Do they want to close their eyes and just say, nah, 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 nah? I actually had somebody do that. I give you my word. I started talking. Somebody asked me, I think it was in a church. Of course, it must have been. And, they asked me, well, Steve, what do you think this means in prophetic, time limit, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, here's what it means. And the other person says, I can't hear it. La, 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 la. And they literally walked away, actually at a brisk pace. So it's like the person that's going to be shot in a firing squad and thinks if they basically hum a tune and just say, this isn't really happening, they're not going to die, you know? Well, guess what? The tune didn't save them. So that's how I would liken Americans. Don't confuse us with the fact our minds are made up. Now, I'm talking about the general population. The aware population, which you and I deal with, which obviously was at Virginia, which obviously is aware of the lateness of the hour. So I'm going to talk about the unaware versus the aware, because the aware people know exactly what's happening. And because Mike Adams and others who are health-based newsletters are providing solutions to building up immune systems, et cetera, they've got to disappear. Pray, ladies and gentlemen, for Mike Adams, please. Pray for those of us who are on talk radio, please. Those of us who are on Skype and on Zoom and all of our broadcasts, pray. And Doug, I want to share something. I really do believe that Branson will happen this year. I've sought the Lord on that. I wouldn't even have, and I think it's going to be so critically important. I can't tell you what everybody's going to speak on. I was hoping Russ would come on today and speak, and so there's some kind of a big screw up, you know. But the thing is,
Steve, stand by for a second. Okay, just got word. It was just a mistake. Russ will be on at one. Russ will be on in 10 minutes. Sorry about that. The translation didn't come through.
That this was maybe a necessity to get all this stuff out. Okay. That it's the World Health Organization's involved, the UN, okay? What are all those UN vehicles here for? And what happens when you come to the roadblock? I just went through the scenario, and you either take the vaccination or you go to the FEMA camps or you go to, worse, you get shot on the spot. What most people don't understand about Virginia, it was declared a war zone. Even the U.S. military, someone gave, not the president, we'll make this clear, someone gave orders for C-130 gunships to be in the air, ready to come at a moment's notice. My dear brother, your dear brother, our beloved friend Greg Evenson, who went to be with the Lord, one of the last interviews I ever did with him was on yard farming. Yard farming is U.S. Air Force slang for bombing Americans on American homes land. You think that wouldn't happen? You didn't know that the F-18s were down in Florida with live bombing runs. You didn't know that there were, 14 snipers on the roof of the building, the state capitol building?
Oh, yeah. And Steve, that's been shown. And it's interesting. I just want to interject real quick here because I know we have a bad echo, but I got to tell you something. Coach Dave Dobmeyer, I don't know if you know this. He was there. I've got it in Virginia, and I'll tell you this. The best estimate number of people I can come up with is 112,000 and who were present there. I just want to compare that to what the media is saying, you know, 10, 15,000 and all this crap. But and yes, there were snipers on not just the State House, but other, outbuildings around on the rooftops. And they were, government snipers, if you will. But you know something, Steve? Here's the question I've got for you, and maybe you can address this at some point. Now that, if I was Governor Northam, and thank God I'm not, but if I was, and I looked out my window, you know, peered out, and I saw, you know, 100,000 well-armed, humans out there, men, women, black, white, all races, saying, you ain't gonna do this to us. I'd be really worried. So my question to you is, if he's got the if he's got the, you know what, the cojones to pass, if they have the guts to pass these laws that are antithetical to the Constitution and the rights of Virginians and the will, against the will of the people, what happens? What next? What should patriots do, and what are they going to do? I'm not sure if you got a crystal ball, but you know, now what? I guess the question is now what? Then what?
Well, it's going to spread to other states, meaning not the protests, but the plan to disarm. And if everybody will think about this, you guys who are in the military know this, that Northam under military, control and advisors, they moved all the patriots into a kill box. What a kill box is, an area that you determine will be the battlefield downrange for the enemy. And you control ingress and egress. And that's why, Doug, you saw there was only one entrance in and one entrance out. I thank the living God with all my heart and all the prayer warriors for stopping bloodshed. Never, ever, ever allow yourself to be in a position where you are in a kill box. Does that word sound right to you, Bob? Doug? I was going to call you boss. you understand, boss? The thing is a kill box. There's a box, one way in, one way out. All the guns are pointing into that kill box. That's where you lure the enemy to basically wipe them out. So I believe with all my heart that it was a living God who said, do you see what's coming, people? The necessity to repent and believe, and the necessity for going to Pastor Langford's revival in Hickory, North Carolina, because most people do not have the power of God in their lives where they know that they know that they know that they know that they have the power of God. That's not a cliche. It just happens to be true. So your question specifically answered, there's going to be more states adopting this. It's going to be more draconian. Expect false flags all along the way. And when they get checked like this, meaning their desire for a false flag shootout, blah, 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 blaming it on the Patriots, the Patriots showed remarkable restraint. Look at everybody else flipping out, like those trolls that are with Bernie Sanders saying, I'm getting my gun, I'm going to kill.
Yep.
I have yet to hear a Patriot say they're going to kill anybody. I have always heard it's on the other side. Communists need an uprising, an armed uprising, and people wake up. We are undergoing a full attempted communist coup, and it starts in the House, it starts in the Senate, and because of the President Obama, he has so destroyed what once was any reflection of a constitutional military, now everybody's fighting for their own grounds, Doug, everybody. Doesn't matter if it's Air Force, Navy, Marines, everybody is looking at their own turf. CIA, NSA, DIA, NRO, everybody. And everybody's preparing for one thing, total, total revolution.
You said that so well. I'm so glad I stayed out of your way when you really said that, because I think, although we as patriots must, I believe this, we must respond if not provoked, if attacked, we must respond, and we must decide how we act in the provocation. I believe that we cannot afford to lay down. I think that we have to, those 100,000 plus patriots in Virginia who went, who were armed, who said, no, this is not going to happen. I think we all have to be that person.
I'm not a pacifist, okay? I believe in Greg Evenson's, the best way ever said, he said, Steve, the Lord has taught me one thing. And this will make a lot of people mad. I don't care. Go whine to your crybaby nursery rhyme tellers. He said, I had my Bible in one hand. He said, I had my 45. I had to be ready with the word, but he said, I was ready with my 45. Greg was one of the most amazing, humble men. And nobody, I won't say nobody, very few knew the real Greg Evenson, because he learned one thing, loose lips sink ships. I love the fact that I was one of his friends. And that because of certain things I had done in my background, never in the military, never in the intelligence, but he knew I knew, and therefore he wanted to get things off his chest. That's what a lot of people come to me for, because I don't say you're crazy. I don't say you're crazy. And still, Doug, within the context of most people at Branson last year, I would guess that 80% of the people did not understand when I was giving my presentation, not that anybody else's wasn't important, who it was that tutored me in this stuff and why I was being able to explain stuff that's just too wild for most people to embrace. This year at Branson, it's going to be the most important Branson of all. And I will tell you this, that I think we're up to, what is it today? The 22nd. We extended the special pricing from 130 to 110. Just because people said, Steve, I get paid at the end of the month. Can you just do this? We'll work with anybody. But also, Doug, I want to just share that, you know, we've got our dinner for Doug Hagman, Steve Quayle. It's on the Gen 6 website. It's for 40 people. These are people that have been our supporters that want to just come and ask us questions. Primarily, I'll be doing most of the talking.
Believe me. I'm going to be sitting at your feet listening to what you've got to say, folks. Understand.
You can be sitting at my side.
At
my side. But here's the thing. People just have so many questions for me, especially those people. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting people signing up right now. That money goes to fight our legal battle, which is ongoing for 4 years. You know, the thing is that what Doug talked about, the fragging, the verbal fragging, like basically character assassination, the desire I have for those people to come, they're willing to pay a price to help us. I'm willing to tell them what their questions. I don't have all the answers. I never do. But I never said I did. But I have answers to the specific questions of that which my research, my writings, my presentation, all this stuff has raised. And it's limited to 40 people, gen6.com. Let us know if you want to come. My guess is that this is January. I think by February, it'll all be sold out. And I'm talking specifically about the dinner. We're going to have an amazing presentation this year. It's going to be different. I think you're going to like it. I let's just say this. Got some curious things to present, and everybody's going to go, are you kidding me? Wow.
Yeah, you know,
If I don't put the wow in this year, then I'm failing, because I want you to know I care for you, brothers and sisters. I want this to be something you can go, you know, I remember that, and it's going to be a hallmark and a landmark time by the grace of God.
This is going to connect a lot of dots, this conference, I think. And you know, if it happens to be the last conference that you put on, then I think a lot of dots will be connected. The music is playing here. So we go into a break, coming back with Steve Quayle and Russ Dizdar. I got to tell you, it's going to be a great next hour. Stay right where you're at. You're listening to the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced.
Mainstream media won't. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Websites of the truth include HagmanReportLive.com. That's HagmanReportLive.com. Please bookmark that site. That's where you're going to find the video, the audio segments for this show, HagmanReportLive.com. HagmanReport.com as well. That for the material, the show prep, the articles by contributors and so on. That's HagmanReport.com. Please bookmark both. Also, if you're watching this by way of YouTube, although we're moving away from the platform, nonetheless, please like and subscribe to the Hagman Report channel. Also, notice as well, HagmanStore.com. HagmanStore.com. It is now open for business. Coffee benefits proceeds going to the people who fight human and child trafficking. That's people like Russ Dizdar. Okay, I'm telling you right now. In fact, the checks are already cut for Russ Dizdar, Shatter of the Darkness, and the proceeds. Okay, so that and Craig Sawyer, because they've got boots on the ground. They're not sitting on someone's couch or a couch talking, you know, about some bizarre, non-existent entity, business, or task force. Okay, please understand. This is too important to get wrong. Okay, it's too important to get wrong. So, and support them, support Russ, support Steve. And by the way, Eric the Tech, you had QFiles.tv, right? Is that QFiles.tv is where I'm so sorry about that. QFiles.tv, I apologize for not remembering, you know, without having to have note cards, where to find Steve Quayle, and that's QFiles.tv, his videos. And it's a bargain. And of course, Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net, there you can find all of his teachings. And he's come out with some excellent material. Ragged Edge Radio as well. Listen to him live every day. There it is right there on your screen. All right. So having said that, I'm not going to take away any more time. We just had a little, and I apologize, it could have been on our end too, a little scheduling snafu. But with us now are both Russ Dizdar and Steve Quayle. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to kick this over to Steve to bring Russ on, and set the tone for the next couple of segments here, set the tone for the remainder of the program. So, Steve, come on and talk to Russ. Russ Dizdar from ShatterTheDarkness.net is with us as well. So, Steve, go ahead and take it.
Well, it's a delight. I don't get to be on with Russ much because we both go in opposite directions at hypersonic speed. But Russ is going to be the Friday keynote speaker at Brandt's this year. And obviously dealing with catastrophes and cataclysms and the fulfillment of the word of the Lord through the age, and also what is affected now, a lot of the ministry that Russ is involved in is mankind in conjunction with his yielding to Satan is opening up doors and forbidden territory that has never been meant for mankind to have to deal with. In other words, the gates of hell. So, Russ, I'm just going to ask you to take it. Again, I was on for the full hour, and I want you to explain kind of how and what you're going to approach at Branson, how it fits into everything you're doing. Go ahead, my beloved brother.
Sure, good to see you. And Grad, listen, I'm so excited. I'm telling you, even at night, I'm laying on that bed thinking already of July and all that I'm going to be putting into it, because it's not going to be new. It's just going to be more defined, definitive, and I really think it needs to be screamed out clearly that because we're looking at historic past. When it comes to the cataclysmic, catastrophic events, and we can look in history and see that all over the place. Even when we talk about the flood, we can talk about that, and we see that, when I stood, Steve, at Auschwitz, when I stood on the cobbler streets next to the train, and I listened to the little tour guide tell us that this is where Mengele stood, and here's where he would separate everybody. You start thinking in terms of the final solution, the people that thought about, I mean, the ones that conceived the ideology, and they had to plot that camp. They had to plot that place. I went into the gas chamber, which was kind of unnerving because there's a door in and a door out, and it's very low ceiling. And then we went into the ovens. And I wanted to take a sledgehammer to the ovens, because we're seeing the past epitome of radical evil, the dark side, as it breathed into ideology, as it interfaced with humans, that would then begin to spout its annihilation of Israel, the Jews, its goal to accomplish world control. I mean, Himmler himself, the breeder. And I was also at Himmler's castle in the Hall of the Dead. And right there, at that place, they conceived that they wanted to – and this is what's – I mean, we talk 40 million that died possibly in that war alone. And so when I think in terms of all that occurred there, I think in terms of at Auschwitz, I actually – I said, Lord, this is like the footprint, a historic footprint of the fallen cherub and that entire dark side collective and what they've done. This is the devastation, and it's past. It's 80 years ago as far as when it began to develop, but it all had a spiritual source behind what became political ideology, what became the military vision, and I believe that they even received from what they called non-human intelligence. They received technology for advanced weaponry, and they were engaging. So it's a major peak at past. I mean, that is also. But when I take a look at that, Steve, my difficulty is this. All that we've researched and all that we look at, we know that major devastations are coming. Jesus said unprecedented. So I could go backwards and begin to look at all the things that did occur and say, wow, look at the human race. Look what occurred here. These are massive things. We could look at the speculations of Yellowstone. And or a comet or meteor hitting or a nuclear holocaust that leaves a nuclear winter. We can look at all these things, but then I go back again. As much as we've looked at the dark side and what's underneath, the biblical prophecy is the number one intel. The CIA, the DIA, the DOD, all the intelligence agencies, they don't have this. They don't have the content of what lies beneath the surface. And what's been plotted is way beyond their ability to look into at this point. So what's about to happen to the world around us? And again, we can look right now in Australia, the fires. We can look right now in Syria and the thousands that are dead. We can look at all the hot spots right now. But I believe Steve, these are the things that Jesus called the times of sorrow. This is just the beginning, he said. This is what we're experiencing is the beginning. What's just around the corner is the most devastating, catastrophic collapse of the human race ever spoken about. And Jesus said it never happened in the past. This didn't. What's coming? It never will happen again. And we're talking two possibilities that he has to halt everything because the possibility of human extinction and the possibility of environmental extinction. Two extinction level events that are on the horizon, and we're experiencing the tremors of that. In society right now, we're experiencing the tremors. Himmler wanted 200 million Godmen soldiers. That entire dream that came from Hell's Kitchen didn't go away. And so when I look at the underworld, and I'll be bringing to Branson a more definitive insight and a look at what I absolutely do believe is a backbreeding program to the Nephilim issue, whether they make that all the way or not. We're talking completely augmented individuals. We have to ask the question, why are there 100 million of them now worldwide? And then when we get into all this, it tells us again that all biblical prophecy has boots on the ground. Prophecy about John the Baptist, well, he was born then. Prophecies about Judas and what he was going to do, he did exactly what Scripture said. So the alarm bells, the dire warning, I'm sitting here, I know where I'm going. I know what's going to happen with me. But the rest of the world, you look at military threat analysis in Sims, I don't think they have any clue of what sits beneath them, what has infiltrated, embedded in them, and how close we are to the, when we talk about the end, we're talking about the cataclysmic, unprecedented, beyond all history, occurrences that we must scream out to the world and tell folks, prepare your soul, number one, your life that way. And for the church, for us, the subnormal church that's around, the sleeping church, it needs to be pulled out of this spectator silence and be on the ground. So there's a lot to say, and I can't wait to be there to tell you of some of the ugly, dark things that we've actually seen in places like Scotland and Poland in France and Germany and Geneva, Switzerland. We are at CERN we're at CERN speaking with one of the major physicists there. Look at the possibilities of that alone. Their own scientists said and the guy told me, we open black holes all the time. And I asked him, Steve, can you look across? He says, yeah, we open black holes all the time. I said, and I looked right at the physicist that I was talking to, and I said, does anything ever look back? And he just smiled. And I said, do you know what you're doing? Here's what the physicist at CERN said. We have no idea what we're doing. We just take orders. They order us to do these things, to open these portholes, these black holes or whatever. One of their scientists said, the possibility is we're going to open one of these and we're not going to be able to shut it. And it'll be, it'd be cataclysmic to the human race, let alone what's on the other side. Who knows? You know, is that the issue of the abyss?
Did you ask him, Russ, at that point?
I sure did.
Did you ask him who gives you orders? Did he say, did he identify who gave him orders?
He sure did.
Okay.
I asked him two things. I asked him about the abyss. This physicist, his name was Pavel. He was from Poland. He had no clue. The good news was I got to witness right in front of Shiva, the demon of destruction over there. I didn't want to go near it. People want to take my picture next to that statue of the demon. I didn't do it. I just stood over to the right. And I said, no, I'm going to share Christ with the physicist. So, and he let me do that too. It was really kind of a great thing. But I said, I looked at him and I said, this is towards the end. I said, well, who runs this whole place? My mind's thinking, you know, a number of nations together, maybe the Germans. I'm wondering who, well, you know, his answer was 100% the Italians. The Italians, they run everything. Like, he pointed to the director's car, even the Italians.
Yep. Would you say, Russ, because would you guess it was Rome? Because what I'm finding, okay, just to correlate with what you're finding, in all of the matters of the most technological, i.e. Mount Graham, the Lucifer telescope, Tom Horn brought that up, it all goes back to the Jesuit faction of Rome.
Yep. That's exactly what I asked him too, because I looked right at him and I said, you're saying the Italians, not anybody else, not an international, you know, no Americans? He says, no, it's 100% run by the Italians. And he says, you don't realize something, Russ. This all began back in the 60s. This has been around a lot longer. And he showed me a map where they're going to build a bigger one. And he showed me the car. He named the Italian lady that is like the CEO. So here's what he said, right? He says, here's what you got to understand. All of us physicists from around the world, we don't know everything. We don't know all about why they did this and what we're here. We just do what they tell us to do. When they tell us to do, you know, to open things or to start it up or to kick it on or do whatever else, he says, then we just do what we're supposed to do. But we don't have an ultimate understanding of why they're doing that. So I said, is it the Jesuits? And he smiled, he looked at me, and he just shrugged his shoulders. I said, is it Rome? Because that would be my two guesses. If it's purely the Italians running this CERN, he just couldn't, he either wouldn't say, or he honestly did not know, but he never confirmed that.
Wow. Well, and here's the thing too, that's interesting, Russ, as all of us come to, I guess you'd say, the point at this time that God is bringing us to, that has our research has led us to, I'm convinced too that the, you know, the fallen angels and earth drag, let's call it, have literally, the scripture says they can manifest as angels of light. Obviously, you know, the angels that went into Abraham's camp before they went to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy it. But I'm convinced the only way to see the whole world giving their power unto the beast is to have the fallen angels who are in charge of nations, the principalities, power, spiritual wickedness. We read that stuff in Ephesians 6 and never apply it to the entities we see getting ready to destroy all humanity. You want to respond to that? Because I think this is critical.
Well, this is why I think it's important for any believer to have a really great grasp biblically of the other side. When we talk about Satan himself, we're talking about an incredible, powerful entity. In comparison to humanity, these comparisons are comparisons to humanity. So they are vastly superior to humanity. They are vastly superior to fallen, lost humanity. And according to Ephesians 2, Satan still has a right to be operative in fallen humanity. We read the words that he's an archon, he's a ruler, that he's Satanas, he's Diabolos, he's the ancient Orphis, all of that. So it's important that we understand, because he brought down a third of the angels. He brought down the human race. He engaged Jesus. We look at, in Revelation 12 is the huge chapter where we have this massive picture unveiling of him and his collective. So the Ephesians 6 thing, the Cosmocrator, Archon, Exousia, the Porneus Numenikai, or Timothy 4:1, the Planos, five specific species of the fallen ones. They are different in their species or type. They are all the same in their nature. Their physics to morph, their physics, they are the masters of deception. So I believe the last 30 years, we've seen an unprecedented global engagement manifesting of their presence with the agenda they have. If we look at Revelation 12, Steve, they want the whole planet. They want the whole earth. They want the sum total of human population assimilated in, seduced and assimilated in. I don't think we calculate how huge their agenda is. A global agenda that involves, number one, building decades in the underworld, the mysterium, the mystery of iniquity, the building of that system. We can call it shadow government, whatever we want to call it, but it's a system that is a global, that has the dark ones, the fallen ones, interfacing with humans. So the humans that buy into it, and then, you know, Bohemian Grove, Mother of Darkness Castle, Skull and Bones, those are pieces of the puzzle. But as they collectively, over decades now, have interfaced with humanity, they are moving towards their agenda. Their agenda is not going to change. And the only intel we have ultimately of the sequence of that is biblical revelation. It is the greatest intel we could possibly have looking beneath the surface. Now, when we do that and then look at everything, I'm saying with every ounce of my belief, the system is in place. The Antichrist has been born and is operative behind the scenes. The false prophet is operative, probably in Rome and down in the underworld of the Vatican. That's my particular belief.
I can confirm that.
Yeah, and I believe they're bulging at the seams. I believe they want out now, but there's a restrainer. One simple finger of God, 2 Thessalonians 2. He holds back one person, Anthropos Anomos, the man of lawlessness. He holds him back. He restrains him. And the reason for the restraint is he's the key to everything flooding out. The moment the apocalypse of the Antichrist, the moment of the unveiling, and by the way, I'll probably concur with everybody there. I'm no question of now that the Antichrist is clearly the supreme hybrid ever on the face of the earth. Because it's not B'nai Elohim that found another woman. I believe a bloodlined counterfeit to Mary and the fallen cherub, counterfeit to the incarnation, he causes the conception, and now we have Homo Satanus. And in Book of Revelation, God gives the terminology, when he actually rises and comes out, he's called Therion. Bestial, violent, almost animalistic, but yet he, Daniel says he has eyes that look like the eyes of a man. We have more profiling on him than anyone else in Scripture except Jesus. And that's vital for us.
Well, I think too, Doug, that what Russ just said is really critical, because Jesus said, "I came, you received me not." And this is the thing that really kind of gets my, let's say, my stove heated up to 1900 degrees to cook a steak, okay? I don't do well in the kitchen. My stove doesn't go to 1900 degrees. But Russ, you know that when Jesus said, "I came and you received me not, but another will come claiming to be me, and him you will receive." And the thing is that I see that it's very, very close. The proximal distance is narrowing. And what was interesting, is that we're now seeing, concurrent with the revelation of Antichrist, what you just said, I concur with, but also that means the two witnesses are already on the earth someplace waiting to show up at the same time. This isn't the church age, new in the Old Testament. This isn't like anything. It's two men who have the power to challenge the Antichrist in all of his authority and all of his miraculous lying signs and wonders. And Doug, I think that's kind of the critical thing that why I believe this year too, Branson's so important. Russ, you know, you're a keynote speaker on Friday. You get 3 hours. I get 3 hours on Saturday. And the reason why that's critical is because it's not just where we came from, where we're at, what we know now, what we know what's coming, but how to prepare the people of God. Because when you talk about spiritual warfare, you live it. Most people that talk about it, no offense, they don't even begin to grasp it. And I think that God is thrusting, maybe not thrusting, but people are being brought into it in such a way. Would you say that the amount of people contacting you, Christians having supernatural experiences with the unexplained, is greater this year than it's ever been?
Well, there's no question about it. And here's the heartbreak. I even have team members. We're trying to train more. I'm working with some other people to train even more. The big issue is putting people on the field, because real believers can do this. We can really engage this, but the sheer numbers and what's happening is, I've said this again and again over, I've been on the field doing it full time 40 years. In the last 30, I can say in a demonstrative way, as far as possession, demonic engagement, the whole sleep paralysis thing is not about your chemicals messing up and tricking you. It is entities that are coming to visit you because the scripture talks about them. They need greater interaction with humanity, greater assimilation of humanity than all past history collective. So this is the message that, God has given to the body of Christ to, scream to the world. Why do we have a billion people in the new age? My estimation worldwide is about 5 billion have been sucked in, at least layered in to what's coming. They're going to be willing to accept a supra being. The ufologists are, the Islam's Mahdi, Theosophical Society's world teacher. You can go across the board and the layering year after year. But here's what we got to say now. If we have 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, I don't know what we have left. But the body of Christ will have more possessed people showing up than what we've seen in the last 3 years, probably 30 years, because the numbers, the sheer number issue, if you just go down and crunch numbers, how many people have opened the door to the dark side since the 60s? How many individuals have become priests and bokers and maguses and wizards and satanic priestesses? How many now know how to summon demons and receive them, summon demons? The church doesn't understand astral projection. And that side, the other side, what they're doing, it in the Old Testament, I think they understood a little bit more because every nation around them did this. But the concept of summoning demons and sending them against believers and churches is huge. As a matter of fact, here's how I equate it, Steve. As I look over the last 40 years or even 30, as you've seen the church go become more spectator-oriented and silent and powerless, you've seen a corresponding rise. So they go together. The rise of the dark side's presence and the decline and suppression of the church. That is an embarrassment. That is a dereliction of our duty as the body of Christ. We're supposed to be the church that the gates of hell and what's coming out of it can't prevail against. We are the aggressors, yet we are in real life not that. But there's no question that we're going to see, and I've said this in the last 6 months on radio, not just more possessed people showing up. You're going to see like maguses and priests, highly empowered individuals, come into churches and challenge the church in a power encounter. You already have them targeting churches for years.
Yep.
But they're going to feel so shielded in their powers. They're going to feel like if you think in terms of Acts 13 and Elymas the sorcerer, you really then back then all the way to Babylon with the Chaldeans, you had really powerful adepts. But we have more of that even today worldwide. The maguses, wizards, sorcerers, summoners, conjurers, and all that, the sheer numbers every single month continue to go up. The sheer numbers of SRA, the satanic super soldiers. We're now seeing the development of a fifth generation. All the numbers are going up, which means all the doorways and all the abilities for these individuals to learn how to summon a demon and send it against Steve Quayle. Get 10 people together, have a coven meeting that we don't like these certain people. Summon spirits, do an ancient spell, and let's summon demons. They know how to release demons on people, breathe out demons on people, and we see the biggest one of all coming in Revelation 16, when the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon out of their mouth. And look at the targeting, the kings of the earth. There's no Armageddon without that global planetary release. And yet, there's precursors to that going on right now all over the place.
The amount of evil that's been expressed, you know, it's interesting because, Russ, you remember when Anubis, the statue, the Egyptian god, was paraded through the United States, the crystal skulls of the Mayans, you know, all of the symbology in Denver, the occult nature of it, the spells. I think that people have got to understand that one of the things that God does get even the evil one's attentions is this. Lucifer, wherever he inhabited, God smashed him and cast him out of heaven or the heavens. And one of the things that's so critical is you can't separate the astral catastrophic nature of God's judgment on that, quote, pre-Adamic era, that rebellious angel era. And I don't think people understand. People are getting the whoa words in Revelation mixed up with a wow word, you know. No, it's not wow, look what's coming. It's woe unto you inhabitants of the earth. So I think it's critical, ladies and gentlemen, that Branson is going to give you, and I maintain before Branson, we're going to see more and more peril on the earth, more and more extreme weather, more and more, if you will, what I would call the hand of God stuff versus a manipulation of man. You know, and I think that given what you're going to bring to it, again, a realistic picture window of the world is not through rose-colored glasses. And I maintain, you maintain, we maintain that which represents itself as a church cannot contain what we say. Okay. Number one, contain it. They won't even entertain it. They won't even listen to it. So it's the highways and byways, the people that turn into Hagman's show, people that tune into your show or my show or whoever's show. But I'm even seeing the more secular talk radio guys, only secular in that either they don't know the Lord or they don't realize he's their protection versus you and I and Doug too. Because again, they're looking, how do I say this? They're looking for political solutions to spiritual problems. And that's what brought on the Nazi thing. And one last thing, all of the basis of the Nazis' ascendancy was based on the occult. You know that. It was the Anunnaki going worldwide looking for every occult object they could. It was a genetic manipulation of the human genome, even by Dr. Mengele. It was, if you will, the occult library, 66,000 volumes of Himmler, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that you've been to the castle. What's it called? The one that the evil one that they all met at?
Vadelsburg.
Thank you. So God took you, Russ Dizdar, to the root of evil, and all of that, if you will, the Nazi occult, and their people get mad. They don't understand. They need to read the history of all of the handlers of history. They were all into the realm of spiritism. They were into the they were into the whole mindset of the occult rituals. And what they were able to conjure forth and bring forth, even modern rocketry. Wernher von Braun, Hermann Oberth made the statement, it's not that we Germans were smarter than you Americans, as we had help from the other side. We had help from the spirit world. So in your experience there, and I would say this, in the heart of the beast, what were some of the revelations that God gave you? Because again, I don't know anybody, not that I know everybody, but I don't know anybody that God has taken the path or given the path that he's given you other than you, Russ. I don't know anybody in the earth. So share for the people to give an understanding, ladies and gentlemen, experience has more validity and more strength than just, well, I think. And people get mad when I say, well, you can think all you want, but I know because this is what the scripture says. Please share.
Sure. I you know, we were also in France at Bougarache at the mountain 2012 when 20,000, 30,000 folks came around the mountain. Here's the reasons why. The Nazis were there back in the days of the Nazis to dig into that mountain. It was a volcano that blew upward and flipped upside down. It's like Mount Doom. And when we got there to a little place, a little town in Bougarache, it's like a ghost town almost, but there was a cafe there. We walked in. Guess who's there? The Russians. Russian Channel, Federation Channel 5 Worldwide News is there. Soon as they said, and there's only about 12 people in there, and they're all being shown video from the guy that is from the area of some kind of craft, some kind of stuff going into the mountain. And he's talking about how Mossad showed up and dug into the mountain. Everybody wanted to get into the mountain. And you said a key thing. The entire roots and development of Nazism wasn't so much that it was German. It was the dark side being the predator on a beaten, fallen people looking for hope. They just went in the wrong direction. And they went that way in every way you can think of. So the entire roots of it was Hell's Kitchen's operation. It was their operation. And the issue is, we know that the war is over, but the presence behind the war, as kind of like Satan was running and had one big foot down, now the other foot's coming. That was just an imprint of, and it's connected to everything going on right now. The Russians, and this is important what you said, because the world is asking why. They're going to ask why. The psychologists and doctors and possessed people, they're seeing the kind of stuff. They're hearing about all kinds of things. That dark side presence brings toxic engagement to the environment, to creation. It's going to be crumbling. Tectonic plates are going to move. Things are going to happen. Volcanoes are going to happen. All those kind of things you've just said, all of that will be beyond what we've seen in the last 30 years. Now, when we go back to and when we were there, we saw, I mean, a real sense of some of the darkest things we were in France, even Paris. It just was really dark. But when we hopped over to Germany and got to Wedelsburg, before I got to that, this is the castle that Himmler had. He actually had a camp there also of workers, Jews, gypsies, everybody else, to help build. They were going to make, Steve, that become the opposite of the Vatican. They wanted they had pictures and blueprints. It was to become the massive center from which they would rule the whole world for 1,000 years. So when you think in terms of what they did develop, it's built on Saxon ground. Archaeologists have found, digging into the grounds of the Himmler Castle, they call them Neanderthal skulls. Wouldn't those be Nephilim skulls? Wouldn't they found it? See, I believe the entire castle may be sitting on ancient Nephilim ground.
I would agree with that, because where it's built, Russ, there were the giants that inhabited that whole area were called the Berserkers, which we get the term berserk from. Yeah. And the Romans encountered those giants, and those suckers were big, 12 to 14 feet. In one day, just a couple giants slew 35,000 Roman legions. But the Black Forest, the Dark Forest, and that whole area, absolutely. And also, it tailed into Bulgaria and Romania, some of the biggest underground citadels in the world. And according to special ops guys I've talked to, and guess what? The Russians are there, too. And that's what I'm smiling. I don't know if you're seeing me because you're talking, but I'm smiling because the Russians are everywhere. The volcanoes, the flying saucers, all over the world, they're flying saucers, Popo in Mexico City. But what's critical is, ladies and gentlemen, those, even all of Himmler and all of the occultists wanted to bring back the Aryan warriors that had been destroyed, the giants. And the whole resurrection of the giants is kind of a reverse of Ezekiel. Can these bones live? You know, Russ, they have MIT now developed a system where you can actually scan bones, not just live genetic material, but bones. And there's a memory in there. And can you imagine being able to see Goliath's sights, sounds, you know, being able to, quote, conjure that up? That's where they're headed. The fallen angels want their children back, and they are going to do what I would call a false resurrection to make it so. Go ahead.
Sure. Sure. And what was very interesting about Wedelsburg, Himmler's castle, you know, underneath are miles and miles of underground tunnels, and who knows how broad it is now, but massive underground there also. So before we get to Himmler's castle, I get a phone call from I don't want to say his name unless I need to, but he claims to be one of the major bodyguards of Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino. And I will say that this guy here that I engaged three times on the phone, his powers of astraling out, he is an SRA. He's one of, when we say SRA, satanic ritual abuse, this is important to understand. Those were simply the tools to help forge, using ancient rituals, maybe even Babylonian rituals, to do what Nimrod did.
Yep.
That's the entire goal of this whole underworld. We're seeing above ground satanic ritual abuse, abused people, victims. What we're not seeing is the entities that guided them and drove them to do exactly what you said. They believed in the occult version of the Aryan, which were the godmen. They were hybrids. They were Nephilim. So Himmler, being a breeder himself, he was a trained breeder, they believed being guided spiritually and doing specific rituals at the moment of conception, they could alter DNA, and that's been the goal since 1939 when Lebensborn started.
Yes.
They had this going on in 1937, 1938, 1939. the same years that Alice Bailey put out the Externalization of the Hierarchy book, proclaimed the rise of the New Age and how the entities would help the scientists open the veil and bring the two together. So it's amazing to see all that work in the last few years of the 30s develop into actual boots on the ground, Lebensborn centers all over. Some say up to 900,000 babies were born in this spiritual selective breeding with one goal, to backbreed to Nephilim. And then they might have said 900,000 between 1939 to 1942-43. What gets lost is this principle. Anybody can put a map up about where the rat lines went all over the world. Wherever you see the rat lines, the Nazis going out all over the world, whether it's Chile, the Colony of Dignidad, Pretoria, South Africa, every place they went in the end of the 40s and into the 50s, within 20 years, the rise out of all of those places around the world, the rise of some of the people that wanted out of the project began to show up by the hundreds of thousands. That's why they've come in waves. All of a sudden in the 70s, we're seeing tens of thousands. By the time of the 80s, we're talking hundreds of thousands. And then the secular estimates by the year 2004 were 10 million alone in the United States. And as we've traveled around the world and engaged, that's part of what I wanted to do, was to get some kind of estimate. Himmler said if they could create but 200 million, that's his number, 200 million, if they can create 200 million of the Godmen, they could not only conquer the earth but maintain it for a 1,000-year Reich, counterfeit, of course, to the millennium. So everything was counterfeit to what God's doing, the millennium, everything. So that project never stopped, Steve. That's what's important to understand. Right, and it's rooted right in biblical I never heard a sermon in 40 years on the troops of Antichrist, Revelation 19:19, the largest military system in human history will be developed. And not only will the troops on the ground be augmented, if not partially Nephilim or some Nephilim mixed in, they will have the Ardaleks with spirit breathed into them to be alive. What kind of machinery are they going to use to aim into the sky to stop Christ? That has its roots back in Himmler's castle. Now, I tell you about this guy, and we kind of vetted him. We vetted him, and all I can say is I believe that he's right about what he's saying, his connection to Michael Aquino.
Tell people who Michael Aquino is, first or Italian.
Sure. Michael Aquino was the director of United States intelligence. He was the head of all – he was the one – I mean – you couldn't be in a higher place, in a sense, when it comes to the intelligence agencies collectively. So he's ahead of that. He's a very educated PhD kind of guy. He's the founder of the Temple of Set. He is as adept as any wise old magus. He is very, very powerful in the dark side of stuff. Now, there is a connection between him and Lieutenant Colonel Shannon, who also developed 1st Earth Battalion, basically wanted to create, out of U.S. soldiers, wanted to create American soldiers who would be like New Age soldiers. They would have their third eye opened up. They'd be able to have clairvoyance, telekinesis, and have supernatural abilities mixed in their war fighting. So that's on the web now. That book was handed to me in early 1995 by a Fort Bragg Psi warrior. So that I have the actual volume. Now it's on the web. You can get 1st Earth Battalion, but that's light level compared to what Michael Aquino understood. Michael Aquino understands splitting programming. He understands the whole. I would say he's like a Mengele, but advanced in powers, wow, in dark powers. Wow. And here's the issue with him. United States military began to investigate Michael Aquino at the Presidio, because numerous kids were coming forward saying that Mikey, this is the reports, it's all out there, that he was doing ritual things and his, you know, ritual stuff on them and sexual things and so forth. Well, there was an agreement. You retire and we'll back away from investigation. Here's what Michael Aquino did. Lieutenant Colonel, once the head of intelligence in the United States, he flies to Vadelsburg Castle. He goes to the castle in the Hall of the Dead where I stood. years before ever I got there, he did an ancient ritual there in the castle, and it was called the Vedelsberg Working. We believe from a letter he put out that we, that Tom Dunn now has, that he did that to summon powers to quiet the investigation and to silence things. And I believe that's true. And I think what's true also is even the secularized church, the rationalistic church, the dumbed down church, as a whole in the last 30, 40 years, the Western church, that, has lost their real understanding of spiritual powers and presence, still to this day doesn't have any idea how those powers, Steve, those powers are real. I've been affected by them. Now, here's what occurred. The phone call was given by this guy that was the, and he explained all the, this bodyguard explained the powers of Michael Aquino, his abilities, all kinds of things. And he said, he knows who you are. He, referring to me. And he says, Russ, the reason I'm calling you is they know you're coming to Vedelsberg. They know you're coming to the castle. And, so of course, you know, I'm going right away to behind the scenes. I may have had a couple thousand people praying, a few hundreds specifically praying. Somehow, Steve, we ended up at Vedelsberg Castle in September of that year, a couple years back, on a full moon Friday night, 13th, Marriage to the Beast ritual night.
Oh, great. You were probably the uninvited guest.
We expected either to be nabbed and put down in the tunnels. We expected spiritual battle and warfare, but let me tell you what happened. We had a German guy that we met who's a powerful prayer warrior. Another pastor that had been there before wanted to go with us, and he took us and he wanted to show us things. And Tom Dunn from Through the Black was with us. We get to the castle. They show us all the stuff. Now, you could be driving on the countryside of Germany, beautiful countryside, incredible, beautiful everything. You come around the corner, and it's like, if you ever seen the Munster's house, I mean, it's like you see this castle far off. It's dark and spiritually just, it's almost as if, I mean, it just didn't exist. It shouldn't even be there.
Yeah,
gothic, it's like from another gothic, world.
Yeah, gothic, like out of a science, a horror film. Gothic.
Yeah, and the presence of it was so dark. So we get to the castle. And we eventually go through all the things they have us do to get in. They made us watch a film about Himmler. It is supposedly now owned by the state. They do in the film try to show that Nazism was bad, but they don't go to the occult stuff at all. They don't go to that dark side stuff at all. And we've heard for years that ritually abused people have been taken there for rituals. Now, here's what occurred. We're in the room where they're showing us the film. We're all prayed up. We have people on the outside of the castle praying, people back in the United States praying, all targeting this day. A group of 21 girls between, I would say, 17 and 21 come to the door to the left of me. Three of them begin to walk in. I look at them. I don't know if I can go into time about this, but for all of those who are being backbred to be the super soldier thing, I've dealt with this for 38 years. There's a thing about the eyes. The multiplicity issue.
Yeah.
So I could usually tell within, you know, a few seconds. Three of them walked in. One, a blonde, blue-eyed girl, was leading the other two. I looked up. She switched to dark personalities and looked at me. And I looked at her, and she knew that I knew, and she put her head down. Same thing happened with the other two. They scurried past me in that room. There's a door to the right of me. There's a box on the side of the door. She put her hand on it, and the whole box lit up and glowed green with like a handprint thing, some kind of reader. It glowed like a light lime green. The door opened up by itself, and they all went down into tunnels. I don't know what it was. Now, it bugged me because I spent the next hour trying to engage them, talk to them. I don't speak German, and they're one of their tall guys, the only guy that was with them, young guy that was with them, had to have been close to seven foot, like our friend John, very tall guy from Saxony, and we couldn't communicate because of language. But it kind of bugged me, and I said, listen, we got to pray. So finally we get taken down to the Hall of the Dead. We're given strict orders, no pictures, no filming. So if you ever seen the Hall of the Dead, that whole round chamber, it was, you got to understand, like, Nephilim architecture, Old Testament tribes that were embracing the demon gods. So Nephilim architecture, or at the very least, the demonic side guiding the building of this chamber, the way opposite of the way the Spirit of God would bring about the temple. This chamber was built for one thing, Steve, to gather and summon spirits and engage them and get information and do whatever's going to be done. Villegoth, the old sorcerer, did it. The indentions in the wall, we're told, were human heads of dead SS troops or leaders that were charged human heads that would be placed in those 13 indentions. And then the ceiling is a dome with a swastika, but it's open. So that when you come to when you step down inside the chamber, the ritual chamber, and I'm very sure, you know, a lot of blood rituals and everything else there, but if you were there to be conjuring and summoning up and then releasing the powers to go up through that channel, right above you is the room, you can see it online, the room that has the Black Sun Camp symbol on the floor, where Hitler and all of them would be sitting in their discussions about, you know, winning the world, you know, conquering the world. Right. So the idea was conjuring powers and fueling them, like nonstop fueling them with powers.
Or releasing them, Russ.
Exactly. And that's exactly. And that guy told me, the guy that was connected to Michael Aquino, he says, Russ, you gotta understand, you're going to step into one of the most powerful active portholes of bringing spirits from that side to this side. Here's what I can tell you though. This is a good news for all of us. We are highly prayed up. I believe the entire collective on that side trembles at the name Jesus. They tremble at the real name Jesus. I believe we were known from a distance when we got down in there. What Tom Dunn did is he stood against the wall. He took a smartphone and videotaped. The pastor guy yelled for me, "Nobody's around. Step into the center and start praying." So I stepped into the center and I started yelling prayers. Because of the vibrations in the room, it's almost like you don't hear anything. You don't hear your own voice. It goes up and comes around. It's a bizarre. All that needs to be done there is it to be tore down like the days of Josiah and completely turned into dust. Because that place is nothing more than a place of summoning, conjuring, sending, and power going out from that place, in many different directions. But here's the good news. I felt such a unleashing, like rivers of just God's power. I know the Holy Spirit, but I felt like we were like literally shielded by God's power. We were completely surrounded, shielded. We started praying and praying, and finally somebody yelled, "Stop, they're coming. We got to stop." I literally pulled out of the chamber by a couple of the guys and said, "We got to go out of here." And I looked at the pastor guy and I said, "How long were we in the chamber praying? I thought it was 2 minutes." He says, "No, Russ." He says, "You were in there for 28 minutes nonstop. I mean, I was speaking Hebrew. I was speaking Greek. We were praying for Germany. We were praying against the dark side. We prayed against Michael Aquino's ritual. We prayed against a lot of things. We were outside, and Tom Dunn, the film guy, wanted to go back in one more time. He says, "Let's go back." He says, "Let's go back down there. I need to get one more picture of something." As I walked into the chamber, I've never had this happen. I've been a part of revivals and things. We know God's presence and power. As I walked in, it's almost as if God grabbed a hold of my arm and the Spirit of God said, "Get out of here now. The shielding, all that I did is over now. You did what you're supposed to do. It's over. Now leave immediately." And we walked out of that room, walked to the top of the castle. The prayer warrior out there said, "We must leave immediately." And we left immediately. Outside of that, I believe it's an active ritual chamber. I believe it'll play part. I believe personally that there's probably many places like that around the world. As you probably believe too, the dark side has in the last 30 years is going everywhere to resurrect ancient Nephilim sites, Nephilim architecture, the bones, if possible. Because in their plot, and I believe I now am willing to say, I believe it's part of biblical prophecy of a real return of the Nephilim in connection with the troops of Antichrist in those last number of years. I firmly believe there's prophetic insight in the pale green horse. A fourth of mankind is going to be destroyed. Amen. God says by war, by famine, by pestilence, and the beasts, the Therion.
And that's not beasts, yeah, those beasts are not just what people think, like a hungry grizzly or a Yellowstone wolf. Those are literally the beasts of antiquity, the beasts of myths and legends, ladies and gentlemen. And Russ, the reports coming into me from people that I know, these are multiple PhD scientists in Southeast Asia, some of them are in Europe. They're saying, Steve, people are encountering things, and one of them was, listen, I'm not making this up. He said one of the ones that's common right now is people are seeing, if you will, a velociraptor with wings that stands as a man. Well, you know, and obviously I thought, well, maybe a future husband for Hillary Clinton. No, this is real. This is real stuff. And so, and unfortunately, the cryptozoological world, you know, God loves us, ladies and gentlemen. He never meant for this stuff to be in our domain, in our dimension. But when Jesus said the gates of hell are going to open, they won't prevail against his church, that church of faith. It's not the Roman Catholic Church. And, you know, it's interesting because I'm calling now the Pope. You know, he's called for a Marxist meeting and everything, and he's the most outspoken critic of Jesus Christ. Well, his name should be probably Pontificus Satanicus, in my opinion. That's my version of Latin, okay? Or Pontificus Profanicus, and profaning the temple. So what we're seeing right now, Russ, is and the cataclysms now, isn't it interesting? Concurrent with all you know, with all you've done, and with what you're doing, now the astral catastrophic nature. Look, when Jesus said it's going to be just as in the days of Noah, people always send me, well, it's just about people being corrupt. And now, you know, the whole sodomy thing. And by the way, 6G, the people who are designing it are calling it the Genesis 6 network, okay? And they're calling this period, the secular scientists are calling it the secular, okay? They don't believe in Jesus. It's not a Christian thing. Those are their exact words. They're calling it a Sodom and Gomorrah cycle. Does God not paint it for us to see? So, ladies and gentlemen, please come to Branson. I promise you, when you listen to Russ, and I'm grateful that he's my brother, but I consider it, Russ, this is a compliment, a genuine, but I consider I get a university education in that which God has given to you, and the hours I listen to you, it is critical, ladies and gentlemen. And my emails, Russ, are filling up. That's why I asked you the question. Brother Quayle, I've got imps, somebody we both know as having like mini gargoyles on his bed at night, mm-hmm. You know, and all the events that are opening. So the gates of hell are opening. Jesus said they'll not prevail. But our goal at Branson is cause you, the brethren, to prevail over darkness. You can go to gen6.com, and I can tell you this, I look forward to it, and you can imagine, I know exactly what you're saying. I'm sitting up at night going, okay, slide 45 in my PowerPoint, and I've never done PowerPoint the last year, and I know what I've got to get across, but I think the cross-section of people speaking will be unequivocal. And by the way, Russ, you know, the whole thing in the book I wrote, Empire Beneath the Ice, I spent the majority of time explaining the Third Reich from the occult perspective. Mm-hmm. And that's what people don't understand. Everything that's in the intelligence community of the world pretty much has come out of the SS and come out of the whole Nazi thing.
Agreed. Can I interject a question here? Russ, obviously the headlines of today include things like Jeffrey Epstein, you know, and what you just discussed – from Germany, your experiences there, the Nazi, the occult agenda. This is layers upon layers upon layers, much deeper than the most simplest of explanations with respect to like an Epstein kind of situation. So there's a distinct difference between, or my question is, is there a distinct difference between satanic ritual abuse and what we would see perhaps just as, I don't want to say normal pedophilia, but, you know, the non-ritualistic abuse that takes place.
Yeah.
There's a distinct difference here that we have to be careful to distinguish from, right? I mean.
Well, there is. And see, out of the four big major addictions, and again, spouting out of Hell's Kitchen, This is 2 Thessalonians 2, along with the satanic counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles, and in every sort of evil, moral decadent evil that deceives. So if you know any dark Satanists, they know that corrupting people with perverted sex rituals helps darken their constitution and makes it pliable for demons to come in. They understand the connection between sexual perversions and demonic acquisition. But so there's no question that SRA, satanic ritual abuse, would be the global – it's a larger number than even human trafficking when it comes down to it of pedophile – you know, every kind of sexual ritual engagement and so forth. But the four main things, demon embrace, pharmacon, the drug the drug scourge, sexual addiction in the perverted sense, and then the violence, the bloody violence. Those four things are going to become what we see now. None of it's going away. It will all become demonstratively next month, the next month, because how many victims, how many perpetrators today were victims 30 years ago? So how many practitioners of pedophilia, necrophilia, bestiality, sex with spirits, incubus, succubus, sex with robots coming up? All of this is unprecedented in the numbers level. We deal with it all the time. And we dealt with incubus succubus back in the 80s with people, and it's all in that. But when it comes to sexual addiction, we all know this right now. It's off the charts. And I think the dark side fuels that to keep humanity locked in sin, locked in darkness. You know, in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 down, it's like a spiraling down there. They become futile in their thinking, darkened in their understanding. They change the natural order of things. And so Epstein is a powerful example, evidence of that prophecy of the moral, sexual, organized addiction that is very, I mean, if you think of the drug scourge, the sexual human trafficking, pedophile, the numbers are off the charts worldwide, the numbers on that. And then you go beneath the surface and you get to the satanic ritual side and all of that. That's the most hidden side, the least talked about because of the bizarre nature of it all. But you're correct, Doug, concerning Epstein. There's probably hundreds of other Epsteins around. Go to Fox Island up in Upper Michigan, where this occurred with another millionaire years ago. He escaped by getting on an airplane, flying to the Scandinavian country. They are pedophile, and we're dealing with in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
We're in the same little tiny city where Sandusky engaged. We know that there were more people involved. We're right in the middle of engaging pedophile, ancestral, multi-generational. And here's the estimates from the victims. And we've been there 4 years. The first 2 years covertly. I mean, we were just coming into Amish, you know, Mennonite churches and places. We're going covertly to sit and observe and watch, gather information. They say in the region of Belleville, I was sitting on Jack. We were up on Jack's Mountain, this big mountainside, looking over all the area, the Amish area. And we were asking, because the whole thing started with a girl, 13, sexually brutalized. I can go on all the stories. Well, then it turned into she was networked around, other girls networked around, many Amish girls networked, movies taken and put up on the dark web. This became an entire pedophile, I mean, worse than you could think of. And it's among communities that are painted as the most beautiful anywhere. So on Jack's Mountain with victims, I'm asking them, people that are born and raised in all of it. They said, Russ, you don't understand yet. I said, well, it's about 50% of all the girls. He said, no, Russ, you don't understand. She definitively, defiantly said, you think in terms of 80 and 90%. I said, well, tell me the numbers. Like you. She said, Russ, the numbers are into the thousands. You got to understand it's a cult structure and they're not allowed to speak. It's one of the largest pedophile, incestuous, raping systems and the most silented. So among all kinds of levels, layers and tiers, the Epsteins in Europe, the Epsteins in England, the Epsteins on hidden islands, What else do the hedonist billionaires and millionaires, what else are they going to do with their money?
Right.
And it lends itself like Eyes Wide Shut.
Amen.
Decadent sex and then the real dark side of the ritual side. Matter of fact, the dark side uses the sexual encounters, like at Bohemian Grove, to draw them in incrementally into the blood stuff, not just having sex with little kids, but snuffed out in the context of ritual.
Incredible. We are absolutely out of time. Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net, folks. You've got to go there. A good friend of the program, a good friend of mine, and obviously Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, qfiles.tv. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Russ. May God bless you. Out of time.
Thank you, Russ. Thank you.
Blessings, everybody.
Blessings. All right, folks, that'll do it. Out of time. Good night.